It's so great. What a beautiful day it is. It's going to be a great week, especially because we're headed into our weekend, Easter Sunday, Good Friday, really important week. God's going to bless our hearts in many ways. Today, we're getting in the Bible. So, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. And we have some here, Adam and Jody. So grab a Bible, and you know, if you need one, if you know someone who needs one, that you can give it to, that's fine. They're here for you. So grab that thing and open up in it to John chapter 14. John 14. This morning I want you to do something for me. I want you to really open up your heart and to listen carefully for what the Spirit of God will say to your heart. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak directly to your heart this morning. And I hope that's not too intense for you right out of the gate here. But that's actually the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He would send His Spirit and that His Spirit would speak directly to our hearts. That's the way this thing works. So let's look at it in John 14 where we left off last week. We're going to spend a little extra time in John 14 because it's so rich. There's just so much here for us. John 14 and verse 25. Here's what Jesus says. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and will put in your mind, bring to your mind everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. But their hearts were afraid. They were actually terrified because Christ had told them that He was going to leave. Jesus said, I am leaving, and where I am going, you cannot follow me. And so they're terrified. They're filled with anxiety. They'd walked with Christ for 3 years. Their lives had been transformed by His presence. They had hung on every word that Jesus spoke. They had seen His miracles. It was amazing. There was nothing like it, ever. And now He says, but I'm leaving, and where I'm going, you can't come. And they're devastated by this. He says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Why? Well, because He says in verse 25, all this I've spoken while still with you. I've been speaking to you. You know that. You like that. I speak into your life. I speak truth. Give guidance. Explain the ways of God, the gospel of God, the heart of God. You love that. I've spoken all of this to you while present with you. But in verse 26, when the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. He will speak to you. He is going to teach you. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. He will come and speak truth into your life. He will speak of God's glory into your life. That's the wonderful promise of the Lord. And so I want you to open your heart to listen to what the Holy Spirit will directly speak to your heart. And I know that for some of us, this is going to be a bit of a stretch. There are some who feel uncomfortable with this concept of the Holy Spirit directly speaking to your heart. Maybe you're nervous about this because of that obnoxious Christian friend that you have. You know, that Christian friend who's telling you every 5 minutes what God told him. And then the Lord said this to me. And then the Lord said this. And then I was in the supermarket, He said, go down aisle 6. And I went to aisle 6, and there was a blue light special. I couldn't believe it. I went down there, everything was marked down, and not only that, miraculously, my neighbor Martha showed up right there, and Jesus told me to tell her it's going to be okay, Martha. And Martha said, how did you know? And started to cry. How did you know? The Lord sent me down this aisle, and you were here. He told me to speak to you. You know, and you go, okay, I've had enough. I've had enough of this, all right. And so you're nervous because of that type of thing, and here's what I have to say to you, get over it. You got to get over it. Because the promise of God is that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Okay, don't be freaked out because of, you know, those people who seem to have the hotline to heaven and it's sort of irritating or something, or you just don't get it or whatever. Okay, don't let that put the damper on you. There are others who feel uncomfortable because their approach to the Christian faith is more analytical. It's just intellectually based. And so you delight in understanding Christian doctrine and learning the things of the faith. And these are truths that you're able to hold and understand in your mind, which is a good thing. But it ends there. This idea of having the Holy Spirit speak directly to your heart, that sounds kind of mystical. Sounds kind of mystical. I had somebody come up after the first service and they said, yeah, you know what? With that conservative Baptist background I've got, I'm not so sure about this. And I said, I know, it's weird. I come from the other side of it because sort of with my early days as a Christian in the Pentecostal wing of the church, like I was running the other way because, you know, I had so many people with so many revelations from the Lord that it was kind of wacky. And half of it, you know, it's like didn't make any sense or ever come to pass. So then you're like, okay, forget that. So you got everybody sort of running from this thing of the Holy Spirit directly speaking to them. But you can't avoid the words of Jesus. Jesus says, I will send you another comforter. And that comforter is going to comfort you, strengthen you, encourage you in your life, give you the peace you need, the guidance you need, the strength you need. Well, how is he going to do that? And the answer is he's going to speak to you. He's actually going to speak to you. And that is how he will give you the comfort that you need. That's exactly how it works. And so we need to open our hearts. And here's where I want to start this morning. I want to start taking a giant step backwards, so to speak, and going to the very beginning of the story, the very beginning of the Bible, and recognize something, that the first principle of the Christian faith, it is the very foundational principle of the Christian faith, is that our God is the God who speaks. Our God is a God of revelation. Okay, that's the way the story starts. So if you open up your Bible on page 1, Genesis 1, in verse 1, here's what we find. Genesis 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And you only get to verse 3 before it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke. Verse 3 of the Bible. God spoke. The moment of creation. It is the fundamental principle of our Christian faith that our God is a God who speaks. And when God speaks, things happen. God's Word is His creative power. God's Word creates things. It brings life. God's Word. And so it is from the beginning to the end of the Bible. Our God is a God who speaks, a God of revelation. Over 3,500 times in the Old Testament, you can go later this afternoon and count them, 3,500 times it records this phrase, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said to Moses, and the Lord said to Samuel, and the Lord said to the prophet Isaiah, over and over and over again. God is speaking. The Bible is not the record of mankind's best and brightest thinking about God. But many people think that. Well, the Bible is just a book of deep thoughts that very spiritual people had about God, and they wrote them down. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. The Bible is the record of God's revelation to mankind through word and deed. That's what the Bible is. In fact, if anything, what we find in the Bible is not people seeking after God, but people running from God. You only get to about page 3 of the Bible, and basically the whole thing goes to hell. And then it's just this flight from God, running from God, hiding from God. And God is seeking lost, sinful, guilty mankind. Seeking, speaking. And all so often mankind is closing their ears from God and saying, no, we'll make it up ourselves. No, we'll do our own thing. And God is speaking into mankind. Even the nation of Israel. They just blew it, left and right. They disobeyed. They ran from God. They were off just making it up on their own, doing their own thing. And God would send a prophet. And the prophet would say, thus saith the Lord. Hey, listen, God is speaking. Will you listen up here? No. The Bible is the record of God reaching out and speaking to mankind. And the question is, who's listening? Are you listening? Listen up. Now you get to the New Testament, and it gets even better. In the Gospel of John, what have we studied in John? The way that the Gospel of John starts, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word. I guess that's a loaded sentence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow. You see, God is a person. And God is a person who thinks, and who feels, and who communicates. That's what a person does. In Genesis 1, it told us God spoke. He's personal. He speaks. In the New Testament, it says in the beginning was the Word. God was the Word. He's a personal God who speaks and reveals. And then it told us in John 1 and verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt in our midst. Isn't that powerful? I love that. God is revealing to us. And it says in John 1 and 14, and we beheld His glory. Glorious as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus now becomes the Word of God coming into the world and revealing God, speaking, revealing. Is anyone listening? Listen up. Very important. In fact, let me show you one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Hebrews 1, in chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. This is great stuff. And in many ways, it's a summary of what I just said to you. Hebrews 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. 3,500 times plus. You can count them later. And the Lord spoke. And the Lord said. Thus saith the Lord. Old Testament. Many times, many ways, many prophets. Good stuff. Verse 2. But in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. Now He's spoken to us in Jesus Christ, His Son. In the most profound way ever. It sounds a little bit like John chapter 1, that these first verses of Hebrews. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Do you recognize in that verse Good Friday and Easter? After He had provided purifications for sin, that's the cross, that's Good Friday, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty of God in heaven. That's the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. It's a summary verse. It just summarizes all this. You know what it's saying? God is talking to you. He's speaking to us through this. So what we have in our New Testament is this record of the most powerful, meaningful message from God in the history of the world. And it's all about Jesus, who He is, what He's done. It's profound. It's amazing. Are you listening? Are you listening? And then there's one more thing. You take it one step further than that, and the next step is this. The Holy Spirit will speak directly to your heart. He'll speak truth to your heart. Are you listening? Several weeks ago, on a weekend, on Saturday, the Lord spoke to my heart, and the Lord said to me something like, I don't have like a word-for-word quote, but the Lord very definitely communicated to my heart that on Sunday, He was going to do a very wonderful, powerful work on Sunday morning through the sermon, and that I should just relax and not stress out. It was a great day. It was a great day. I'm like, why can't you just tell me this every week? But it was very clear. It was like, you know, don't sweat it. It's just like, just show up. Just show up, read the verse, talk, it's going to be good. I went, this is so awesome. And so I showed up on Sunday. I was totally at peace. It was so great. I mean, usually you see me around here. Well, you guys are the 11 o'clock service. Maybe you don't see this, but I come in, you know, and I'm all stressed. I come in at the last minute. I put my verses in the thing, and I'm crossing out. I've got my notes in the back like this and underlining and hiding out in a room somewhere. Praying, Jesus, please help. That's what I do. Then I get after it, and I'm all casual, you know. But that's actually what I'm really doing. But not on that Sunday. That Sunday I came strolling in here. It's great. I have my Bible, a couple things written down. That's going to be great. Going to be awesome. The Lord showed me. It was going to be, and it was. It was amazing. And I went away, and people came up and said, that was amazing. The Lord really ministered. I said, I know. He told me. I'm not surprised. It's great. Isn't that wonderful? It's good. So last summer, I was up in Canada, and I told you, you know, I was praying and spending some time in the Word that week. And at 5 in the morning, I woke up, and I heard like almost like an audible voice. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to me, who are you and what are you going to do? And I stumbled out of the bed. I almost fell over. And I got a pad. I said, I can't believe it. I actually heard that. I heard that. And I wrote down, who are you and what are you going to do? And then I thought, Lord, it's a riddle. It's a riddle. Because I thought, I can't answer this. How can I answer this unless I know who you are and what you're going to do? Lord went, I know. Oh, I get it. It was so great. It was comforting, strengthening, directing, empowering to my life. The Holy Spirit will speak to your life. How do you think He's going to bring comfort, counsel, strength, encouragement, guidance, help to your life? That's what the Holy Spirit does. We studied about it last week. He's going to speak to you. Speak into your life. And the question is, are you going to be listening? Here's something crucial that you need to know. When the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, the number one thing that He does is He directs us to Jesus. He points us to Jesus Christ. When the Spirit talks, what He talks first and foremost about is Jesus. Take a look at some verses in John. Now, we've read in John 14. I'm going to read a verse from John 15 and then one from John 16. Because in this upper room discourse, we find Christ is taking these themes and He's repeating them over and over again. He's working it into the minds and the hearts of His disciples. So here comes John 15 and verse 26. He says, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. You also must testify, for I've been with you from the beginning. Now, the Counselor, who is the Holy Spirit, he's actually the Spirit of truth. He will testify about me. He's going to talk about me, Jesus says. That's a clue. It's very, very important. You need to know this. The Holy Spirit is going to direct us to Jesus, speak about Jesus, reveal Jesus. Let's read on in chapter 16, another great passage, down in verse 12 through 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. And that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. Now, as we hear more, Jesus is building this case for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be given to you. He's a Counselor. He's a guide. He's a helper. He's a comforter. And what He'll do is, He'll come and He'll talk to you, and He's going to talk to you about Me. John 15:26. He'll testify about Me. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will take that which is Mine. You can see it in the text in John 16 and in verse 13. He will not speak on His own. Verse 14 of chapter 16, He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. Now, the disciples were scared because Jesus was going to leave them. They didn't know where He was going, what was up. They wanted to be with Him. They're like, Jesus, You're our life. How can You go away? Well, it's going to be all right because the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to speak to you. He's going to comfort you. But do you understand the way that the Holy Spirit's going to comfort you? Is He's going to point you to Me. He's going to take things that are true of Me and reveal them and show them to you. That's going to be your comfort. That's a really, really important point. And for you conservative Baptists, you'll be happy to hear this. And I went to a conservative Baptist seminary, so I know. This is the truth. This is so important. Is that when the Holy Spirit speaks, He's always speaking according to Scripture. Jesus said in John 14, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance things that I have spoken. He will testify of Me. He will take things that are of Mine and show it to you. So here's the thing. And for those of us who are more intellectual, analytical, and you like to just read the Word and understand it, well, that's good. You've got to do that. Because that is your safeguard for when you hear the voice of the Spirit, that you're not going to get off into some weird, bizarre tangent. Because as the Holy Spirit speaks to you of Jesus, it's going to line up with the Jesus who's in the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit directed these words as well. How do you think they got written? Jesus said, I'm going to bring to your mind everything that I've spoken. Well, here it is. The Holy Spirit directed these words. Directed the apostles to write the truth about Jesus. It's revelation. They didn't make it up. John didn't go into a closet somewhere and go, wow, I'm going to write the most amazing thing. I think really, really, really hard. I could write the most amazing gospel. I'll be more famous than Shakespeare by the time it's over. And he hasn't even been born yet. He didn't do that. This isn't the thinking of John about God. This is God revealing to John through the life of Christ that he walked with Him, and he didn't even get it while he was there. And then the Holy Spirit came after the resurrection of Christ and shone the light on the life of Jesus and the words of Jesus, put it all together, and now these are the words of the Holy Spirit about Jesus Christ. They're on the printed page. This is truth. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and points you to Jesus Christ, it's going to line up with this word. Okay, that's really, really important for us to know, and it's very helpful. He is the Spirit of truth. Now, truth is a big theme in the Gospel of John. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. We beheld His glory, full of grace and truth. Truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. That Jesus is the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, if you continue in my words, you will know the truth will set you free. Truth is a big theme in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John ends, the last two verses in the Gospel of John, it says, this is the testimony of the disciple that wrote these words, and we know that his testimony is true. Truth. That Greek word truth, aletheia, is an important word in our Bible. It has two layers of meaning. It means truth as opposed to error. Right? In other words, this is true. It's not a lie. It's true. But it also means that which is real. That which is real. Can you see the connection? I mean, a lie isn't real. An error, a falsehood, it's not real. So here's the meaning of this word truth. Is it truth as opposed to a lie or to an error or a falsehood? No, it's intellectually, it's true. But the other side of it is it's real. It's something that's real. Now, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's pointing to Jesus, who is the ultimate truth. Jesus is the ultimate reality, by the way. He's the ultimate reality. You don't have to waste your time trying to figure out the ultimate reality. You heard it here today. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. You read the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and He became flesh. He's the ultimate reality, folks. He's the ultimate truth. That's the claim of the Gospel, and that's it. That's true. But here's the thing. Is Jesus real to you? Is He real to you? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth who makes the reality of Jesus real to you. When the Spirit of Christ's reality comes to you, speaks to you, takes of the things of Jesus Christ and shows them to you and makes them real to you, that's when stuff happens. The Holy Spirit, His number one ministry is to make Jesus real to you. To make the words of Jesus real to you. To make the glory of Jesus real to you. That's what He wants to do. Are you listening? I want you to listen carefully. On Wednesday night, we had a leadership meeting for our church. We had an elders meeting. And at the elders meeting, we had Jonathan and Carolyn Rogers come to do a presentation. Jonathan and Carolyn just got back from Honduras with Pastor Christopher, where they were exploring a ministry called the Micah House, which is an amazing ministry to these street kids down there. And it's a Christian ministry. It's a great thing. They're super excited about it. And they came to do a presentation because we're praying about how we can partner with this group. And, you know, and so we wanted to hear about it. So they came, and here's what happened. We're sitting in a room thousands and thousands of miles away from Honduras in a lot of ways. You know, we're sitting there in our air-conditioned room, and they come in, and Jonathan's got a sheet of paper with stuff written on it. And Carolyn's got a laptop computer with slides. And so they do their presentation. And Jonathan has got some statistics and like propositions and information. So he's reading this stuff up. And he's real excited about it. You know, you could see it in their eyes. They're just so excited. Like, oh, this is so amazing. This is so great. And they're, you know, he's telling us the facts. He's giving us the information. We're taking it in. Okay. And he's like, you know, I know it's hard from these facts and this. It's really hard to get a sense of the reality of this, but I'm trying. And then when he got done, Carolyn fired up the laptop and started showing slides. And she's showing the kids. And, you know, she's going, look at them. Look at these kids. She says, now look at these kids over here in this picture. Can you see that? Can you see in their eyes, like, the despair And these kids right here, we're like, yeah, we see it, Carolyn, we see it really. He's like, utter despair. And then she goes, now look at this slide. And she goes to the next slide, and here's these kids, and they're like happy. You can see a smile on their face. They're definitely different, you know. And she's saying, well, this is the story of it. This is amazing. It's kids like this that this is what they look like on the street when they're sniffing glue. Their lives are destroyed. They're in the dump. It's just a horrible thing. And here is kids rescued from that life. They're in this Christian house. They're being, you know, loved, nurtured, and they're learning about the love of Jesus Christ. And look at, they're alive. And she's telling us the story, and she's showing us the slide, and she's saying, I wish I could make this real for you. Man, I wish that you could really get this. They had just been there. They were there for like 3 or 4 days. But being there, the reality hit full force. And now they're trying to communicate that to us. You know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit comes to you. And the Holy Spirit gives you truth. The Holy Spirit is bringing you the truth of the Word. You're reading the Word, and you're hearing the propositions, the facts, the information about Jesus Christ. It's truth. It's right here. And then the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, and it's like a slideshow of spiritual reality, and saying, this is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. You need to get this. Is it real to you? And I'm sure that the Rogers wish that they could have just brought one of these kids with them, you know, or just bring a boatload of trash from the dump so we could get the smell of it and the feel of it, you know, and the bugs crawling in it and the, you know, the despair of it or something, and just to get the feel of that thing. You've got to be there to kind of get it. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is God, the Spirit of Christ, and He is given to you, and He's with you. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you, but He will be in you. He does bring that reality. He actually brings that reality. But are you listening? Are you listening? Because all too often, what we're looking for to hear from the Holy Spirit is not about Jesus, it's about us. You know? Well, Lord, tell me about me. Well, Lord, tell me about my circumstances. Well, Lord, give me a way to fix my problems. Well, Lord, and we're asking for all this stuff, and the Holy Spirit's going, okay, fine, but can I show you the glory of Jesus? Because if you see the glory of Jesus, you're going to have comfort. You're going to have peace, strength, counsel in your life. He's trying to get us to look at Jesus and for it to become real to us in our lives. Take a look at John 16 one more time. And I want to show you this part about glory. Verse 14, He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Glory. The work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. You know what glory means in the Bible? Glory doesn't just mean some shiny thing. Wow, that's glorious. It means that plus something that is important, significant, worthy, captivating. All of that is in this word glory. Do you see the importance of the truth of Jesus Christ for your life? Do you see the worth of it, the significance of it for your life? Are you captivated by the person of Jesus Christ, by the work of Jesus Christ? Do you love Jesus Christ? Are you just blown away and captivated by Jesus Christ? Because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. He actually is living in you to do that, so that you'll be captivated by your love and admiration for Jesus Christ. And having been captivated by Jesus Christ, you will not be held captive by any other thing in your life. This is how the Holy Spirit comforts us. But is Jesus real to you? So on Friday night, we were out with some folks at dinner, and the conversation came up as to why there are so many marriages which are failing these days. And it's distressing. A lot of marriages in distress. A lot of marriages failing. And so we were talking about, what are the percentages now of divorce and all this type of thing? And I said, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. Because it feels terrible. And so I was asked the question, well, why do you think it is? Why do you think there's so many marriages that are in trouble and failing right now? And I just like immediately I responded. And after I did, I said, I need a pen. I got to write that down because I like that. And here's what I said. I said, I think marriages are failing basically because people in our society are unhappy. We live in a society of unhappy people. People are secretly miserable, unsatisfied, unhappy. And you take two unhappy people and you stick them in a room together, it's not going to turn out so well. And that's what marriage is. It's a bunch of people who are unhappy with life, who have been lied to over and over again by our culture, and who are taking it out on each other, or now, being so unhappy, they're expecting that their spouse is going to be the one who's finally going to make them happy, and when they don't, they're out. I hate to say it, but you know, it's a simplistic analysis maybe. But it kind of feels right to me in so many ways. I see women who are unhappy. I see women who are dissatisfied. Okay, they're dissatisfied because they don't have the relationship that they want. They don't have the emotional closeness that they want. They're listening to talk shows or reading books or magazines, and they're hearing about the ideal relationship and what it's supposed to be and the romance they're supposed to have. They don't have that, and they're dissatisfied. They're unhappy with that. I see guys who are unhappy. We lived in this sexualized society where there's images everywhere of sexuality, and it's just sparking in the minds of these guys, and they're just like out there, just like, you know, they're unhappy. And so they go, you know, they go to the computer. They go, oh, this is going to make me happy. And they're not happy. They're miserable. The people are unhappy. They don't have what they want to have. You got to have this thing. You got to drive that car. You got to live in this town. You got to have this plan. You got to have this much money in savings. You got to work at this kind of a job, or you have no self-respect. It just goes on and on and on. You got to look like this. You got to be fit. You got to lose weight. You know. People are watching on TV The Biggest Loser, you know. People are crying, I'm finally happy, I lost weight. And like, you're like, I got to lose weight. Yeah, I'm not happy. How can I be happy unless I get on that show? It's ridiculous. We're sold all day long. We're basically told that we need this or that product or this or that experience or this or that job or, you know, travel or whatever it is to finally be happy. And so all day long we're given this thing that we're not happy in our lives and we shouldn't be satisfied, and then we come home to each other and we look at each other. How are you? I'm fine. Really, I'm doing good. You know, it's like, okay, this isn't working. Not working. What if you were able to find the comfort of the Holy Spirit in your life? The strength, the joy, the peace of the Holy Spirit in your life. Who gives you a peace that passes understanding. Who gives you a joy that's rooted in your relationship with Jesus Christ and not in the circumstances of your life. So that you're filled in such a way that you don't expect that person over there to be your ticket to happiness. Or that experience, or whatever it is, you go, that's not what's happening. What's happening in my life is something deeper. I mean, what if that were real to you in your life? We come to church and we hear these amazing, I hope, truths. We hear great truths from Scripture, Christian doctrine. We go, yeah, I believe God is with me. Yeah, I believe Jesus, actually, the Lord of the universe, died on the cross for my sins because He loves me that much. Yeah, I believe in heaven. I believe that I have a treasure in heaven. I believe I don't have to store up treasures on this earth. I don't have to have that certain house. I don't have to. Why? Because I got a treasure in heaven that outshines it all. And I'm going to live eternally with Him. You know, and we teach all these doctrines and people walk out of the sanctuary and they don't believe it. It's just an intellectual idea in their head that they heard from the Bible or a book or pastor guy on Sunday. And it's lodged somewhere in the back of their mind. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, I want that truth to be real to you today. Because when it is, your life will change. Your life will change. These disciples, on Easter Sunday, their world was rocked forever. And they began to believe. The Holy Spirit was given to them. Their eyes were opened. They understood the gospel. They got it. Their lives were never the same. The world was turned upside down because Jesus was real to them. The gospel was real to them. And that was the work of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that lives in us. And He wants to do that same work and make it just as real in our hearts and in our lives. Are we listening? Listen to the Lord. Take some time this week. Listen to the Lord. Say, Lord, please, Spirit, make real to me the truth of Christ. Make real to me the depth of your love. Make real to me your presence with me right here, Lord. Make real to me your comfort in my life. It comes from these things. Now take two people who are filled with the Spirit. Right? Ephesians chapter 5. Don't be drunk with wine. But be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody joyfully in your heart unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Right? Be filled with the Lord. And then right after that, he starts talking about marriage. Take two people who are filled with the Spirit, who are anchored in truth in Christ, who have a peace that's not dependent on circumstances. Put them in a room together. See how that goes. It goes a lot better. It goes way better. That's what the Lord wants. And the Holy Spirit is leading us to that. That's His gift to you. Now, this is real. Okay, this is real. And I don't want you to be afraid of it. I want you to be open to it. Now, there's other levels of what the Spirit does and how He speaks. The Lord speaks to us to direct us. And the Lord also works through us in ministry, speaking to us about how to minister and all these different things and the spiritual gifts and all that stuff. But all of that is built on the foundation of what I'm telling you right now. And the foundation is the Spirit directing us to Christ through the Word and the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And making it real to us, that's glorious. This is the week of Christ's glory. Did you know that? We studied it in John. Jesus said, now is the hour that the Son of Man should be glorified. And what he was talking about was Easter week. The cross, the resurrection. This is the most glorious week of the Christian calendar. Every day you should be praying and saying, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, make real to me the glory of Jesus this week. When you come to Good Friday and you worship and you have communion, say, Lord, make this real to me. On Sunday, you come and you say, Lord, make this real to me by your Spirit, this victory of Christ on my behalf. And that's what the Spirit will do. And He'll rock our world. So here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray, but how we're going to pray is through a song. So I'm going to have the worship team come back up here. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing a song called Speak to Me, and we're going to let this song be a prayer. All right, so just open our hearts to the Lord. And we've done this song a couple times, but you can listen if you want, and then we'll sing the chorus a couple times. It says, Speak to Me, Lord. And I want you to make it your prayer. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Today, this week, He'll speak to you. And then when we get done singing a song, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And we'll ask the Lord that way too.
Speak to me. speak to me. Your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. It is open, and all is willing. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your words of life. Speak to me. Speak to me. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me.
Sing that again. Speak to me.
Speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your words of life. Speak to me. Speak to me. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me.
Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you with eager hearts, Lord, to claim this promise of Christ. Your Holy Spirit, given to us, Lord, as a gift, to comfort, encourage, help, strengthen, guide, and to counsel, Lord. And now, Lord, that we know your ways, we're eager to hear you speak to our hearts by the Spirit, Lord. You know what it is that we need. Lord, would you show us the glory of Jesus Christ? You show us the things of Christ, the wonder of his incarnation, the greatness of his teaching, the reality of his miracles, the love and sacrifice of his sufferings on our behalf, the victory of his resurrection, the hope of our calling. Please, Lord. And as our heads are bowed in this attitude of prayer, I want to tell you that the Lord knows what you need to hear. There's something about Jesus which will comfort your life right now. There's some truth about Jesus that will speak to you. There's something about his character or his acts, things that he has done. And because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you need to know that reality. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you something about Jesus that you can cling to by faith. And as he speaks to you, grab onto that as faint as it may seem. If the voice is still or small or vague, just grab onto it and say, Lord, make this real to me. For those who are struggling, those who are hurting in relationships, maybe it is in marriage. Speak truth, Lord. Let them see your reality and feel it in such a way that it is greater than the hurt or the disappointment. That it overshadows all of that somehow. And that they're filled with peace. Filled with joy, Lord. It's difficult to understand or explain, but it's real. Oh, please do that, Lord. And then, Lord, would you help us also to testify, to speak of the reality of Christ. We love you, Lord. We pray you'll continue to meet with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.